Vandaag praat ik met Sonja Flotostamme. Sonja is senior onderzoeker op het gebied van duurzame voedselproductie en marketing bij de researchgroep Business Innovation in Venlo. Waarom Sonja twee vakgebieden, marketing en duurzame voedselproductie, combineert, dat heeft alles te maken met de vraag of je insecten zou willen eten als vervanger van vlees zoals we dat nu kennen. Maar het gesprek met Sonja gaat veel verder dan dat. We hebben het ook over zelf het goede voorbeeld geven als onderzoeker en hoe moeilijk dat soms is. En zelfs over voedsel uit lucht produceren. Veel plezier met het luisteren naar deze aflevering van Zoek het uit, vol grensverleggende ideeën. Oh, trouwens, het is misschien even wennen, maar het gesprek met Sonja is in het Engels. Veel luisterplezier. Welcome, Sonja. Nice to have you over all the way from Venlo.
Yes, hello, Els.
Hi. We're going to talk about eating bugs, aren't we?
Yes, also, but not only this. Okay. We have some more topics, I guess.
Yeah, because if we talk about alternative food and sustainability and food, I think a lot of people straight away go, oh, should we all start eating bugs? But that's not what your research is about, or it maybe is a bit, but it's a lot bigger than that. Can you tell us something more about that?
Yes, of course we have this eating insects as an attractive trigger, I would say. So if you talk about eating insects, you get a little bit attention. It is about a sustainable food production and consumption. Mm-hmm. That is the context, because what we have at the moment is an unsustainable system and we want to change this. So the question is all about how can we align it in a sustainable food production and sustainable food consumption.
Okay, and you say it's an unsustainable production. Why is that? Because is everyone convinced that it is?
I guess the understanding of the unsustainable food production is common. So mm-hmm. there is an agreement on this. And this is because if you look at the numbers, greenhouse gas emission, or how much sweet water is used, or how much land is used, the biodiversity loss, all of this is clearly connected to food production. Not to talk about the animal welfare issue, that's mm-hmm. also the spoilage of a lot of food. So we have a lot of issues that we have to tackle.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not just about meat production then, or is it? Or is it wider than just meat production?
It is about the whole system. Mm-hmm. However, we spotted a core problem, which is for Western diets, the overproduction and overconsumption of meat. So we can fix a lot by eating less meat.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And that's what the research is about, on how to do this, but also on how to sell it. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So first step is to get the awareness. Yes, we want to maybe eat less meat, change production in this field. And the second step then is, how can we do it? Because eating habits are quite strong and long-lasting. It's not easy to change it. So we have two things to do. First, awareness. Second, how to do that then.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of emotions, I think, involved with eating and food as well, isn't there?
That is also the case. So emotions and also tradition and eating habits is a lot connected to social habits, to your cuisine, let's say, how you celebrate, how you eat with your family, how are your normal habits in eating at specific moments, etc. So you grow up with a specific pattern and you will not lose it. So that takes a lot of energy to change this.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess, so I always ask the guests here, like, why is your research so important to do for research, but also for society. I think
We tackled this already in the first question I asked you, because you said we do have our food production at the moment is a massive puts a massive footprint on our surroundings. In any case, do you feel is the most is the most important thing you have to achieve here, or where is the easiest results to get here in your research?
I would like to add something that we want to achieve. Mm-hmm. It is the first point, what you said, is we need to think of a more sustainable food production. That is clear. And this is for a healthy planet. We can't do this in the future in the way we do it now. It's not possible. So we have to change things. And the second is, we can't also do it for ourselves, our health, our bodily health, because what we see at the moment is people are getting obese, overweight. On the other side, we have also undernourishment, but here in the Western regions, we have the big problem of overweight. Mm-hmm. And we need to rethink and redesign how we eat. So
yeah.
We have two purposes on this.
Yeah.
And what we want to achieve then is two things with one research. It is also nice to convince people that there is something in for you personally.
Exactly.
It's not only for the environment, but it's also for you personally, and that makes it a little bit easier in the end.
Yeah, I think that's what my question was indeed about. Like, where do you think it's, can you gain the most indeed with your research indeed? Are people easily convinced that to change their habits, or do you see results already from your research?
There is a difference between what people want to do and what they are convinced about and what they actually do. And
okay.
This is the thing that I talked about at the beginning. So it is very tricky and hard to change your habits, right?
Yeah.
So now the industry comes into play. Food technology, food innovation should also make it easier for us to change our habits again. If we have products and methodologies which make it easier to replace meat products in a way that it's the same, let's say, feeling or experience, that you can have the same feast with it, traditions. Of course, that makes it much easier.
Yeah.
And if you have a good reason to change things because they are so delicious, maybe, or to make it short, what is important is it needs to have a great taste. So it needs to be also good in taste. And next to that, it needs to be healthy. And these two factors make it quite easy to convince people. So if it is tasting well and if it's healthy for me personally, that makes it makes it much easier.
Mm-hmm. I'm convinced by those two factors indeed. I think for me personally, they would be very convincing to change something indeed. Do you do this research with students as well? How are other parties involved?
We started doing this research with our students from marketing, from international business, and also from finance and control, because we started it with the example of a novel food with insects, and the insect market as a new protein market is a very good example how this whole works. So we want to replace an existing system with a new, and we have to change business models. We have to convince different stakeholders that it makes sense to try out this new way.
Mm-hmm.
And after convincing the industry, we have also to find how to connect the consumer with this new idea. So the marketing students come into play. They investigate target groups, the innovators. They investigate what is a value proposition of this new product and how can I position this value so that it matches with what the target group wants. So we have a lot of nice ideas how to connect this super interesting, important mm-hmm. research with what students need to do in their exactly. study programs.
Yeah. So you integrate the topic from your research group into the educational programs of these students.
That is the aim. And what we already do is we offer bachelor thesis, master thesis, and we have workshops and micro lectures for them. So to just attract them to the topic. And the aim would be to also have this example in all the study programs, because it's a nice example to also show the methodologies and show the what they have to learn in their study programs.
Exactly. And how do students like it? Do they find it difficult to participate in it?
What do you think? If I ask them, hey, would you like to find out how we can convince consumers to eat bugs? Yes, there are students who are very into it. And we always get interested students from all study programs, as I said. So, yes, I think the topic it triggers.
Yeah, and because it's a bit controversial, I suppose.
Yeah, some of them think it's a like a Mutprobe, so check whether they are brave and try to eat it. Some of them immediately see that there is a sustainability aspect in it, so replacing meat and doing something for the environment. Others think that is good for animal welfare. And there are others who say, but it's again an animal. Is it really, oh, really? Something good for the animal welfare? Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of discussions about it, ethical discussions. Mm-hmm. Of course, do I really want to change my eating habits just to eat another animal? Why mm-hmm. should I do that? It's interesting to talk to all of the different all the different opinions.
So I guess the extra value to work for working with students is because you get these discussions, you get input, and they can of course implement or investigate some marketing strategies as well. What would you advise to other researchers who work with students on a research topic? What is important to keep in mind if you work with students?
I think what is successful in our research is they can relate to the topic immediately. Everybody has an opinion on food. Mm-hmm. And if you trigger them a little bit with, would you stop eating meat? Everybody answers something. So you need a topic where they can relate with.
Yeah.
And on the other side, it needs to be also connected to what they do in their study program. In the end, if we show, okay, in marketing, consumer behavior, you learn all about how is a consumer triggered by a value? How is a value proposition translated into a marketing strategy? This exactly is what we do with a new insect product. Mm-hmm. So you can apply what you do in this course directly with a real case. Mm-hmm. That is what they like.
Yeah.
Then they see a double use in it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great example of interdisciplinary research and getting different different disciplines combined into one assignment and one contribution to a specific type of research, I guess.
Yes, that is also the idea. If you say it's interdisciplinary, it's even more interdisciplinary if you think now of why are we doing this. It has a lot to do with sustainability issues. Mm-hmm. So we go to the is it really an opportunity and an option to change to a more sustainable production? If we change to insect production, we start measuring CO2 emission, we start right. carbon capturing. We go into the details of chemistry, and we work together with students who can relate also to this whole carbon accounting and and these topics. We even did this with students from here, from Eindhoven. What they did was they calculated supermarket waste streams to feed them to black soldier flies. And the black soldier fly production is a protein production as feed for poultry. And poultry, again, is then meat and egg production for human consumption. So they closed the loop into a circular economy and calculated the carbon emissions in on every step. That was a super nice project for them, which was valuable input for us.
Exactly. It's, and it's extremely interesting indeed that you can keep varying on the same topic and explore more subtopics and more subtopics, and actually have within Fontis have institutes and educational programs where you can actually get this research to land. That's extremely interesting, of course, and I think it proves that the topic is valuable on itself as well, of course. Hey Sonja, how did you get into this? Because why you? You know, you're very passionate about it. You see links everywhere with how students can participate and which research institutes and other institutes within Fontis can contribute to it. But why are you so good at this? Why is this your passion?
I'm a nutrition scientist. That is where I come from. And I worked for many years in marketing departments before I came to Fontis. So I see both sides, the production side and technology side, and on the other side, the consumer, and how I can sell things and how I can make them attractive and find the value for the consumer. Yeah. So I always have this double perspective, you can say. And when I came to Fontis, it is a business school where I started teaching students food business. And from this teaching, I went into the research again. And it was quite clear in the last 10 years that we have this development of looking at a new way of eating and producing. And I went very deep into it to also attract the students' interest into this topic. Mm-hmm. So I started in the research group Business Innovation, and I always thought of connecting it to the business and marketing topics. And yeah, 5 years ago or 6 years ago, I started with the example of insects, because the Netherlands is quite ahead in this technology and also experimenting with insects as food and feed. And we just took this as an example and we thought it through. Mm-hmm. So what are the market opportunities? What is necessary to make it attractive?
Yeah. So you saw all like possibilities and opportunities based on your own interdisciplinary orientation, of course, because it sounds like you had the perfect combination to really get this going and to make this successful.
Yeah. Yes. I think that is the reason why we started with this research and we kept it. That is maybe the second success factor, that we stayed with this one example and went very deep into all the different perspectives. Yeah. So today, 6 or 7 years later, we are known for our expertise in insect research. So we guided students through their bachelor thesis, even with, maybe you remember the Buxi company, students from Fontis who developed a burger, insect burger, so we could connect them to all our network, to the producers and to the technology. That was super helpful.
Yeah.
So we stayed with this example And we can connect it now to circular economy, to carbon accounting, so to all the super important topics which play a big role.
And I think it's funny that you say this, because when I speak to researchers, often they say one of the key factors in doing successful research is patience. I think that's what I kind of hear in your story as well. You have to stick with it, and you have to be patient and just carry on year after year before you actually, before you actually harvest what you sow.
Yes. Otherwise, everybody can have a opinion on it, can read through it and give their own, opinion. But in this case, it is a lot of experience after years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that is the core of research,
That you... Yeah, I think that it comes back every time I speak to people. Patience, patience, patience. Hey, Sonja, you're obviously very passionate. Do you still do teaching at the moment or solely research?
I do, at the moment, solely research. However, what I do is I offer micro lectures and workshops around the whole campus. So... for all kinds of activities and events, we are there and show what we do and exchange our research results also. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that easy or is it challenging to combine those two things?
That is easy.
Okay. Yeah. What are the challenges in your research then, for yourself or?
You know what is a challenge for me personally? It's funny, I'm totally convinced about a new way of eating and being vegetarian or even avoiding all kinds of animal products because I know so much about the science behind it. But it's super hard for me to do that actually because I'm also really interconnected with family and friends who love to barbecue and have the goose roast or to have all these nice meat dishes, the traditional ones. My husband actually cooks very good. So yeah, it is a challenge for me to replace meat for plant-based.
Yeah, and to act upon your own research, actually.
And act upon my own research.
But it's also interesting because you're actually, you know, your theories on how people can change actually apply, of course, to yourself as well.
And I have, I totally understand the problems people have with it. So that might also be good for my research. I never point on somebody saying, hey, you shouldn't eat this or do that. That's not the case. I think it's also exactly our societal challenge. How can we all manage to go into this direction. Mm-hmm. It is not about changing your eating habits from today to tomorrow totally, but it is a long process. It's one generation, but also we, eating more conscious, we can gain a lot for ourselves, so that might make it easier. That helps me, of course.
To stick with it as well.
Yeah.
What's your biggest dream, Sonja? If you said, you know, 7 years ago and look at where we are now, we are experts, we're very renowned for the research we do. If you look on another 2, 3, maybe 7 years, what's your ultimate dream?
I'm not only looking at insects as a protein replacement. It's not a replacement, it's an alternative or an addition, you could say. But I'm also looking at new technologies such as biofermentation. And the ultimate goal is, or my ultimate dream, is to produce all kinds of delicious products from just air, the elements out of the air, which is the nitrogen, hydrogen, carbon out of the air. With the help of microbes and with the help of regenerative energy like sun and water. And this is not completely a dream. That is already a technology that is running, but it's in the very first phase.
Oh, this is very next level.
That is next, and that is where we got to, where we get to. I'm quite sure that we will come there.
When you have reached that stage, we'll definitely do another podcast, because that's definitely another topic to explore. So yeah, I always ask the researchers, kind of, who are they, you know, what kind of, to get to know the researcher behind the research itself. And I do that in a very silly way by giving them two words to choose from, a bit of contradictions, and to see what are the things that you like and that typify you as a researcher. Would you choose either mingling at a conference or solistic writing in your attic?
Solistic writing in my attic.
And why is that?
I love writing.
What do you love about it?
Putting my thoughts together, making a unique conclusion, not forgetting my ideas, writing in them in a way that others understand it. I like sharing it, yeah.
Maybe a good message for students who mostly really don't like the writing as a part of their research. I definitely get it, yeah. Are you an early bird or a night raven?
An early bird.
Yeah, how early?
6 o'clock.
Oh, that is early. And does it mean you start writing straight away or...?
I start the morning with sports. That is like brushing teeth for me. Mm-hmm. In the winter time, it is a run through the woods, and in the summertime, I go swimming.
Lovely, very nice. And the weather is changing, so swimming is
the getting... pool is open.
Look, very nice prospectus. So, would you prefer working with students or having this high-end publication on your research?
I need both. Sorry, I can't say the one or the other. I want to have these high-end publications, yes, that is a goal, but I want to work with students, because that is also the purpose somehow of the research, what I do.
This is always what researchers find impossible to answer. They go, I can't choose this one. Hey, relaxing or hard work?
Hard work.
Okay.
Mostly.
That is actually what typifies research as well, to be honest. And finally, research or teaching?
Research.
I kind of knew that was going to be your answer based on the rest of the conversation. I asked you about your ultimate dream already. If you have to give any advice to people starting research or who are on the kind of doubt and should they proceed, what would be your final word of advice, your takeaway for them?
Choose a topic that you can really relate to and stay with it, because it becomes interesting and unique if you go very deep into it.
Yeah, so have patience again as well, I suppose.
And yes.
Yeah, I think that will be the key word for this this episode. Thank you so much, Sonja, for coming all the way from Venlo to our pop-up studio in Eindhoven. It was really great talking to you. I wish you all the best for your research. And indeed, let's stay in touch when you enter your next stage of the research.
Thank you so much, Ed.